Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, Text 23. Tasya me tad anushtanat yan ahur brahma vadinaha lokaha syu kama sandoha yasya jushiti dishtadrik tasya me tadanushtanad yanahur brahmavadinaha lokasyu kama sandoha yasya jushyati dishtadrik tasya me tadanushtanad yanahur brahmavadinaha lokasyu kama sandoha yasya tushyati dishtadrik tasya me tadanushtanat yanahur brahmavadinaha lokasyu kama sandoha yasya tushyati dishtadrik
tasya me tadanustanat
tasya me tadanustanat
yanahur
brahmavadinaha
lokasyu kama sandoha
lokasyu kama sandoha
yasya tushyati dishtadrik
tasya me tadanushtanat
yanahu brahmavadinaha
lokasyu kama sandoha
tushyati dishtadrik
tasya me tadanushtanat
ahur brahmavadinaha
Akastam sadoha
Chetu chetu
jistadrik
Asya meva nushtanad
Tamahur brahmavadina
Asasam sadoha
Chetu sam jistadrik
tasya me tadanushtanat
yanahu brahmavadinaha
lokasthaya kama sandoha
yashadushyashidrishtadrik
tasya me tadanushtanat
yanahu brahmavadinaha
Lokasta samasandoha
Deshushati Tristadrik
Vaishnavis
Dasya me tadanushtana
Yanahu brahmavadina
Lokasta samasandoha
Yasya tushyati Tristadrik
Tasya,
his,
me,
mine,
tat,
that,
anushtanat,
by executing,
yan,
that which,
ahu,
is spoken,
brahmavadinaha, by the experts in Vedic knowledge.
Lokaha,
planets.
Sihu,
become.
Kamasandoha,
fulfilling one's desirable objectives.
Yasya,
whose. Tushiti, become satisfied.
Jistadrik,
the seer of all destiny. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Prithu said, I think that upon the execution of my duties as king, I shall be able to achieve the desirable objectives desired by experts in Vedic knowledge. Described by experts in Vedic knowledge. This destination is certainly achieved by the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of all destiny. Please repeat. Maharaj Prithu said,
I think that upon
the execution of my duties as king,
I shall be able to achieve
the desirable objectives described by experts in Vedic knowledge.
This destination is certainly achieved
by the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is the seer of all destiny.
Purport. Maharaj Prithu gives special stress to the word Brahmavadinaha by the experts in Vedic knowledge. Brahma refers to the Vedas, which are also known as Shabda Brahma, or transcendental sound. Transcendental sound is not ordinary language, although it appears to be written in ordinary language. Evidence from the Vedic literature should be accepted as final authority. In the Vedic literature, there is much information, and of course, there is information about the execution of a king's duty. A responsible king who executes his appointed duty by giving proper protection to all living entities on his planet is promoted to the heavenly planetary systems. This is also dependent upon the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. It is not that if one executes his duty properly, he is automatically promoted, for promotion depends upon the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It must ultimately be concluded that one can achieve the desired result of his activities upon satisfying the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atab Bumbir Dvijasesta Varna Shrama Vibhagasaha Svanistitasya Dharmasya Samsidir Haritoshanam. The perfection of one's execution of his appointed duties is the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. The word Kama Sandoha means achievement of the desired result. Everyone desires to achieve the ultimate goal of life. But in modern civilization, the great scientists think that man's life has no plan. This gross ignorance is very dangerous and makes civilization very risky. People do not know the laws of nature, which are the rulings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are atheists of the first order, they have no faith in the existence of God and His rulings, and therefore do not know how nature is working. This gross ignorance of the mass of people, including even the so-called scientists and philosophers, makes life a risky situation in which human beings do not know whether they are making progress in life. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30, they are simply progressing to the darkest region of material existence, Adantagobir Vishitam Tamisram. The Krishna consciousness movement has therefore been started to give philosophers, scientists,
and people in general the proper knowledge about the destiny of life. Everyone should take advantage of this movement and learn the real goal of life. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So what is our destiny? Everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a future. We're being moved at every second by the force of time towards that destiny. In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn that Krishna is Dishtadrik. He's the seer of all destinies, individual and collective. So we each individually have our destiny, our goal towards which we are moving. Our country, you know, has its destiny, individually and collectively. Everyone is moving towards some destiny. And Krishna, he understands what that destiny is. Now, the concept of destiny doesn't mean there is no freedom. We have the ability to change our destiny. As spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, we have independence. Just as Krishna has some independence, we also have some independence. Of course, Krishna is completely independent. Natasya karyam karanam chavidyate. He can do anything he wants. There's no one to impose any destiny on him. There is no one to say, well, if you do this, then you'll get that result. If you don't do this, then you won't get some result. So Krishna's freedom, Krishna's independence is absolute. He determines his own destiny. He determines everything. But we, on the other hand, we have minute independence. And according to how we use our independence, a certain destiny is imposed by higher power upon us. Now, at every moment, we have the ability to choose. And according to the choices we make, our destiny changes from moment to moment. But at every moment, Krishna understands what that destiny is. But it's changing from moment to moment. For example, before we came in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, our destiny may have been the hellish planets, birth in some lower species of life. But when we take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, when we come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, take advantage of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, that destiny changes. Our destiny becomes returning to our original position as Krishna's servants in his Nitya Lila in the spiritual world. What our destiny is up to us, in a sense. We're at every moment choosing, making choices that determine where we're going. Now, the problem with modern society is, they don't know where they're actually going. They have some false idea about where they're going because they think they are independent. They don't realize that their destiny is being determined by higher powers according to the laws imposed, by, those higher powers. And for example, someone may go out on the road and think they can do anything they want in their car. They think, I can go at any speed that I want. I can go 100 miles an hour if I want. I can go this way or that way on any road, on any side of the road, whatever. They may think like that, but that's an illusion. Because really, there are laws that are imposed by a higher power, and sooner or later, if one violates those laws, one may think, well, I'm going somewhere where I want to go, but where you might actually wind up is in jail. Or in an accident. You may have some idea where you think you're going, but your real destiny, your real destination may be something quite different than what you imagine. So this is the situation in the material world. Because people are ignorant of the actual laws of nature, because they are ignorant of the actual goal of life, they are making progress in the wrong direction. And eventually, they find out what their destination is. And when you wake up for the next life in another body, maybe not in such a nice one as one has at the present time, or in a planet that may not be as nice as this one, then we learn what our actual destiny is. The problem is, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, that the leaders of society today don't have a proper vision. Leader means to be going towards some destination. But then you have to know what the real goal of life is. Natevidu svartikatim hi vishnum. They don't understand that the actual goal of life is to please Vishnu, to understand our relationship with Krishna, Vishnu. Jivara sarupahoy krishnara nityadas. By constitution, we are eternal servants of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But nate vidu svartikatim hi vishnum. They don't understand that. Durashya ye bahir arte marina. Why? Because they have other desires. Ashaya means desires or hopes or aspirations. So everyone has some desire. Everyone has some hope. Everyone has some aspiration. They aspire for something, to achieve something for themselves, for their loved ones. Everyone has hopes for the future, especially when one is young, in the teens and 20s. They think, oh, well, I have a hope for what I want to do in life, what I want to achieve, the level of happiness, I want to get. So everyone has these hopes. Everyone has these aspirations. But they can only be realized on the spiritual level. The kinds of hopes that people have for happiness, for success, for achievement, for satisfaction, they can only be achieved on the spiritual level. Otherwise, if they try to achieve them in some other context, it's durashaya, hopes that are bound to be disappointed in one way or another. Yashastra vidim utsrija vartite kamakarata nasasadim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. The real way to satisfy one's hopes and desires and aspirations are set forth in Shastra, in the Vedic literature. But if one gives up these instructions, ya shastra vidam utsrija, if one gives up these instructions, vartate kamakarata, and simply behaves according to one's own concocted plans for trying to achieve happiness, one is bound to be disappointed. Nasa sadhima vapnoti, one doesn't achieve the perfection one desires. Everybody desires some perfection in some way, the perfect relationship, the perfect job, the perfect living situation. Everyone desires some perfection, but one will not achieve it if one goes against the injunctions of Shastra. Nasa siddhim avapnoti, na sukham. One will not achieve happiness, the happiness and satisfaction that one desires. Na param gatim, one won't achieve the goals, the real goals of life. What is that supreme goal? To be situated in our constitutional activity of devotional service, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that can be anywhere. That's the goal. It could be in Goloka Vrindavan. It could be on this earth planet. It could be in some other universe where Krishna's Bhauma Lila are going on. But the devotee aspires simply to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And from that, everything else, every perfection, every goal, every kind of happiness will come. But if one doesn't do that, then one won't achieve these things. And the unfortunate fact today is that in this world, people are being misled by many of the so-called great scientists and philosophers. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparasprasam bhutam kimanyat kamahaitakam. They say, there's no God in control of this world. Everything is just happening by chance. There is no real purpose to human life that is imposed upon us from any other source other than our own whimsical desires. Whatever we want to do, that's the purpose of human life. And this philosophy, as Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, is making life today very risky. It's kind of like a high-risk activity, you know, to engage in the kinds of activities that are being promoted under this illusion that there really is no... I mean, they will say, well, yes, you can believe in God if you like, if it makes you feel good. Then you do that. You go to your church, your temple, your mosque. You read your Bible, your Bhagavad Gita, or your Quran, if it makes you feel good. But don't tell us how to run society. You know, don't try to interfere in the life of this world. As far as life in this world goes, it's whatever you want to do. Of course, there are a few remaining restrictions these days. You know, a couple, some things you're not allowed to do. But kill animals, eat them, take all kinds of intoxication, engage in all kinds of illicit sex life, gambling, and things like that. These activities do not lead to perfection, to happiness, to the ultimate goal. People who engage in these activities are bound for a very risky future. Their destiny is not good. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to change this idea that, you know, there's no God in control of the universe, everything is happening just by chance. You know, as he said here, he wanted this for the This Krishna consciousness movement has therefore been started to give philosophers, scientists, and people in general the proper knowledge about the destiny of life. So it's a very big mission that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has, you know, to present this knowledge to scientists, to philosophers, to the general public. And so we all have responsibilities in that regard. You know, some are involved in trying to present this knowledge to scientists and philosophers. Some are involved in trying to present it to the general public. But the knowledge comes in the form of transcendental sound, Shabda Brahma. That's where real knowledge comes from transcendental sound. It doesn't come from looking at the world with our senses and speculating with our minds about what we observe with our senses. This is the path of knowledge followed by, you know, the modern materialistic scientists. In the Vedic epistemology, this is called the ascending path of knowledge. It's based on pratyaksha, sense evidence, anumana, logical inference. But the conclusions arrived at by this method are very imperfect because the senses are limited and imperfect, and the mind that we use for logic is imperfect. So you come to the wrong conclusion, you set the wrong goals, and then your destiny is very, very dangerous, very, very risky. And that's the situation of the world today. However, there's another path of knowledge, the descending path of knowledge, that is based on this Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration. But it is not like ordinary sound. It is not like ordinary literature. It has to be studied properly under proper guidance. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshinaha. The Vedic literature must be studied from proper spiritual authorities. It must be received through the path of disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam. Otherwise, it can be misunderstood. It's must be received in this way. Tad vigyanartam sa gurum evabhigach chet. The Vedic knowledge must be received in disciplic succession under the guidance of bona fide spiritual masters. And in that way, it can be properly understood. It's not ordinary sound, Srila Prabhupada says here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that, you know, the Vedic sound exists in four different phases, only one of which is the ordinary sound, you know, the sound that we hear or the words, you know, that we read with our eyes. The Vedic sound is realized on different levels, on the level of prana, you know, the vital air, the level of mind, the level of intelligence as well. So it's very subtle, this Vedic sound. So therefore, the Vedic sound, it has to be received, you know, from the proper source. It has to be coming down through the proper channel of disciplic succession. Otherwise, it isn't realized properly. But if we do receive the proper Vedic sound vibration from the proper source, then our destiny is changed. Our destiny becomes entry into the eternal spiritual pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And that's our actual function. That's our constitutional function, to be engaged in the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Otherwise,
Yet we remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. So, if we're truly intelligent, we will want the best destiny for ourselves, for our family members, for our society, for our nation, for all living entities. And to do that, we engage in so many types of activities meant for the welfare of the whole human society. So we're very fortunate that we have so many opportunities. And we see that even wealthy people in this world, at a certain point, when they've satisfied every desire that they have, they find their lives are empty. So they want to engage in some welfare work, some charitable activity, you know, like saving the world from global warming or stopping wars or something. The people want to engage in some kind of welfare activity. But the highest welfare activity is to ensure that all living entities achieve the highest destiny, the best destiny. So we have an opportunity to do that in so many ways. And just like last night, we were out chanting the holy names, the promenade in Santa Monica, and devotees were distributing books yesterday and also distributing prasadam at the restaurant and in the gift shop, engaging people in Krishna consciousness, and the beautiful deities are here, for people to come and see what their destiny can actually be. So these are very important, welfare activities for, the whole human society. And we're very fortunate, to have a chance to improve our own destiny and the destiny of others. So does anybody have any question or comment? Yes.
Has to come from the proper source, the disciplic succession. What if somebody were to receive knowledge, for example, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra from an improper source, would they still have any benefit?
So the question is, if somebody, for example, receives the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra from an improper source, is there benefit? And yes, there can be benefit by that, because the holy names of the Lord are non-different from the Lord himself. But to get the full benefit, eventually you do have to receive it from a proper source, take it in the proper way, follow the rules and regulations and things like that. I mean, as I've traveled around the world, I've met many people who have become devotees, very good devotees, and they have told me that their first contact was with some member of the Krishna consciousness movement that we would consider to be fallen and not properly situated. And I've seen this all over the world. Met many devotees, very good devotees, who tell me their first contact, they first heard the Hare Krishna mantra, from someone that we would regard as not being properly situated. But to come to the position where you can get the full benefit, from the chanting, then eventually you do have to accept it in the proper way. Yes, Brigapati.
So, living in this day and age, we have the benefit of modern technology. So, You know, we have so many books that were written by Srila Prabhupada. We have so many things that Srila Prabhupada said recorded, you know, lectures, conversations. And now we even have lots of videos where we can not only hear Prabhupada, but we could see Prabhupada, you know, very... So we can get so many, such a great opportunity to get instruction directly from Srila Prabhupada, certainly the right source. Is there, what's the need for anything else beyond that? I mean, in previous ages, I could understand how you need a living guru, because if you didn't have a living guru, you didn't have anything, basically. Because, you know, there wasn't tapes and books and videos, but now we have these things. So we can get everything directly from Prabhupada, so why do we need anybody else?
Well, because if you look at those videos and you read those books, he still says the same thing. So yes, I mean, indeed, we're very, very fortunate. But it's always been the case that, you know, the teachings of the great acharyas have been available in one form or another. Yet we always see that a great acharya, no matter who he is, you know, accepts a position in the disciplic succession, you know, by, you know, taking initiation from another acharya. So the two things are not necessarily contradictory either. You can do both, which is what the recommendation is. We should accept the teachings of the great acharyas, and in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada made a big point of emphasizing his position as founder acharya. And he was very upset if he was presented in any other way as just another member of the society or just a guru in the society. He was very strict about that, emphasizing his position as the founder acharya, upon whose teachings and instructions the movement was to go on in his absence. But he also indicated that the disciplic succession should also go on. So I don't think the two things are contradictory at all. Yes, we should take advantage of all the ways in which Srila Prabhupada has made himself available. And one way in which he's made himself available is through his disciples and grand disciples, you know, through this process of disciplic succession. So we should take advantage of all the ways in which Srila Prabhupada is making himself available to us. Yes.
Just along that same line, Prabhu, unless the devotee engages in service, so part of that service is that we attend the classes, even if, Prabhupada said, even if we have nothing to say, if we sit and read, we should all gather together and hear the class. Mangalartik, Prabhupada said, unless we're leaving our body, we must attend the Mangalartik. So many instructions Srila Prabhupada gave. So, because his question was, what need is there for anything else, right? Bhrigupati Prabhu, I think that was your question. What need is there for anything else? We have all of Srila Prabhupada. You know, you could stay at home, worship your deities, which happens right across the street here, but they're still lacking, you know, the mission spirit. Srila Prabhupada wanted that mission spirit, and he wanted that we associate, and he used the example of sticks, etc., that one stick is easy to break, but as a group, because we don't see, for instance, we don't see them gathering together, the people that are living outside, we don't see them gathering together for Harinam, for prasadam distribution, for preaching, etc. Okay, I'm sorry.
But as far as your point is concerned, yes, Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a society of devotees. He didn't want to just make himself available as an individual he wanted to create a society of devotees. Because really, that's our destiny. You go to the spiritual world, it's not going to just be you and Krishna. You know, you're going to be part of a society of devotees. A whole society of devotees. So that's very important. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.